You have to take responsibility for your life. It's my life. Nobody is going to live my life for me. It's not a movie. I can't just sit down and allow it to happen. Life does not happen to you. It's not happening to you. If it happens to you, it's because you allow it to happen to you. You have to be proactive. You have to be proactive. You have to take the bull by the horn. You have to go. You have to say, it's my life. And you have to say, remember, we said also last week that you have to say yourself, everything I'm doing for myself. When you remove that, doing it for mother, doing it for father, doing it for uncle, and doing it for them, for community. If you like be a vagabond in the community police will arrest you. That's why the community police is there. Come on. They'll put you up, lock you up somewhere, and then you'll be there. Community has community jail too. To lock people up who don't want to be a responsible part of society. So don't do it for us. Do it for yourself. Do it. Get up in the morning and strive and have a great life for you. Take responsibility for your life. If something is happening in your life, listen to me. These things are very simple but very great stuff. If something is happening in your life, immediately say, I caused it. You see, this is the problem. This is the problem. They're not beginning to say, no, you don't point fingers. The bulk falls to you. There are a lot of people that are a part of your life, I agree. And I know. But you have to take responsibility for what happens in your life. That's the beginning point for success. We can't change everybody. But we can change ourselves. So, if everybody's fault, you will never go anywhere in life. When it becomes my fault, I can change myself. I can change my approach. I can change my attitude. I can't change the gas attendant's attitude. I can't change that woman's attitude. But I can change my own attitude. So that I can get my results. Come on. I said so that I can get my results. I can change my attitude. I can change my behavior. I can change my sleeping time, waking up time. I can change myself so that I can get my results. I become what I need to be. To get what I want to get. I am responsible. Apostle Paul said it. You see, you know, when people say one of good things out there in public speaking and all that, and people are hailing them, I'm wondering how dumb can you be? Read your Bible. Everything is there. He says, so I could win some, I had, but I became everything. Because he had a goal. You see, whatever you want in your life is what you get. It's important. You take responsibility for your life. If something is happening in your life right now, take responsibility for it. Take it first of all. You might say it is not your fault. In fact, we might dig deep and find that it is not your fault, probably to 90%. But for your own good, take responsibility. Because the more you, if you, this is going to be a practical stuff, you see. Are you here? If you say it is, I agree with you, it is not your fault. 90% of the blame, in short, 98 falls on them. Okay, so what should we do? There's no starting point from there. The best starting point is to take it. Somehow. Once you take it, you take responsibility, you begin to find a way. And a way will always come out. You will always see a way. Hallelujah. So we said, take responsibility for your life. Every people have gone ahead. Job says, my life is my responsibility. And people have gone ahead of us. I told you last week, a lot of people have gone ahead of us. And the Lord said to me, you can choose to be David or you can choose to be Saul. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. Hallelujah. The people whose planes are flying are those who are actively doing something. The people whose ship sails are people who are actually doing something. If your ship is not sailing and your plane is not flying, you're not doing anything. You don't see a cruising pilot. Just there. Say the plane will fly. One of you are living your life like that. You're there and you say, the ship will sail. We're going to move. I'm going to hit it next year. Are you doing anything to hit it next year? I told you before, I told you this funny thing when people say, may this year bring you peace and may this year bring you abundance. Is the year your uncle? Is the year related to you? Why will he bring you anything? Why will he bring kind of year is that? It's a bad year. It should bring for everybody. So if it brings for everybody, then you have nothing really special it brought for you. Unless what you take from it. Come on. May this month. It doesn't do anything. You have to go and take something. You have to make a choice. You see, I told you, I don't know if I read the verse in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I showed you this stuff. Let's look at it. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at it. All right. And I use this as a very important. I told you it came to me as a great revelation last week. Right? Last week. Great revelation. And how it came last week. I told you that last week. Talking to somebody. I'm trying to say, do this for God. Do it for God. Do what for God? Come on. You were here last week. You got the gist last week. Should we read the thing again? Do it for God. You're not doing jack for God. You are doing it for yourself. I'll show you that scripture. You see, powerful stuff. You're not doing anything for God. You're doing it for yourself. Do it for yourself. I mean, when you wake up to yourself, your responsibility, bam, everything changes. So in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 6, so that we can get out and read the other one. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. You see it now. The laborer must be first to partake of the fruit. So anything you are doing, you think you are doing for other people, you are actually first to partake of it. You see, you are the first person. The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. Anything you are doing, you are going to be the first to partake of it. And if you are going to be the first partaker of it, you know you're going to enjoy the bulk. You're going to enjoy the bulk of it. You see? Are you still here? I told you last week. So whatever you are doing, he said you'll be the, he didn't say nobody will partake. So I don't want you to get a notion of, we're just there, I'm isolated. No, we're not. There are other factors in my life that I really don't sow to. There are things that happen in my life that I don't sow to. Because sometimes things happen in people's lives, and I think that's a powerful message I'll teach you sometime. I don't know if I've ever explained it to you, but you know, things happen in people's lives, and people say you sow what you reap, it's your fault. It's not all your fault. There are things that enter into your life that is not your fault. Are you still here? Because of other people. But we said not to stay there and to blame them. But there are things that I enter into my life that I did not sow to, and they hurt me, they touch me a little bit. But the people for whom it originated, it touches them more. It must. So if you go up in your life and you prosper in your life and you excel in your life, you will be the first person to partake and to enjoy of it. Are you still here? Hallelujah. The husbandman first partaker of the fruit is important. Your excel is for you. Come on. Your excel is for you. So take a Bible. Let me show you that in Job. Job chapter number 35. We read it last week. It was very powerful. I was talking to somebody about that point until I saw it, and I was like, boy, even the scripture makes it clear for us. Okay, are you in Job? You know, okay, let me just do that. So there we go. Job chapter number 35. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 4. I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see and behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? You see that? If you sin, you've done nothing to him. If your transgressions are multiplied, nothing has happened. Come on. Verse number 6. Look at it. If you sin, Job 35, 6. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? Verse 7. If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness is son of man. So are we doing it for God? Let's do it for God. We're not doing anything for God. It doesn't affect him. So who are we doing it for? For us. So when you wake up in the morning and then you pray, God just got bigger. Are you seeing something? Boy, this is powerful. You could stay a whole service for 1 month on that talk. 1 month on that talk. You're not doing anything for him. Because when we get people to come to church, we'll say, come to church, do this, they think we are doing, I think we are coming to do God a favor. Oh, they were coming to do pastor a favor. Take responsibility for your life. Whatever you do to study, to pray, to give, to do all that work is for yourself. You'll enjoy it. We're not doing anything for God. Once you take that God, that doing something for God out of the picture, and it becomes doing something for yourself, the strength would even come. I want to live a holy in righteous life. I want to live like this, you know, just so that for God. For God? No, don't live a holy life. Don't live a righteous life. Live a criminal life. Let's see what will happen to God. Come on! Are you getting something now? Don't come to church. Stay at home and sleep. Sleep! When you wake up by around 9, when we are coming to church, cook rice. Eat. Sleep again. He will still be God. And I'll still preach the service. Some people will still say, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus is alive, and go home. Who do you hurt? Get up and say, I'm doing this for myself. It's my life now. I got to take the bulls by the horn. I don't feel like going, but I got to go because it's for me. I got to do this because it's for me. I'm doing everything for everybody. I get a job because the perspective is for the pastor. So they can come to church so that the pastor can be blessed. I preach the service, but that is 3 people preaching here. I preach. It's not about you. Get up and say, I got to go. I got to receive something from God. We're gathering together to God. And God's going to do something mighty in my life. He's going to teach me through my pastor. You see, that changes everything. If we come early to church, so pastor, see, he's here. So, you know what I mean? I don't feel that stuff. We start the service. We just start the service. And we keep going. You're doing something for yourself. You're getting into a habit. And it's not going to help you. Hallelujah. You know, you consider Ruth. And you consider Naomi. You know the name of the other lady. You might have to crack your head. Unless you're a Bible person, you remember Orpha. It's Orpha. Because this woman, Naomi, and her husband, they left Israel. They went to the land of the Moab, and dwelt among the Moabites. And their 2 sons married 2 women. And then they didn't give birth the son. The husband died, the 2 sons died. And so she's going back to Israel. She finds out that the Lord has been good to them again. What a wishy-washy person. What a wishy-washy person. They just go everywhere, they run around. It didn't still work. I see people who do not live like that. They just waste their time. Still didn't work. And so they're coming back. And this woman says, all right, see, you guys go back. There's no point. I don't want to turn the house of nurse to cover. I'm still doing recap and I'm like, and that's so much to cover, to do. And they said, all right, you guys go back. And then Ofa says, no, I'm not going to go back. He says, go back. She said, all right, I'm going back. Whoops, go get me some guy to marry. But people remember her anymore. But Ruth says, I'm going to stay with you. Unlike the, now, who was a wishy-washy person, Ruth was even more steady. Today we name our children Ruth. Come on. Nobody name any child Orpha. Have you seen any Orpha? say, I just love this, my daughter, I'm going to name her Alpha. So who did she hurt? Who did Alpha hurt? She hurt her mother-in-law. Because now, if two of us would have been taking care of her, but I got to take care of my life, everything for me. Let me tell you, when you live for yourself, you most likely will end up broke. I just told you something very powerful. This is why many people are broke in their lives, and why many people are not going anywhere, is because they are living for themselves. And the reason why people get angry with pastors so much is because they don't understand. The pastor lives for several people. I'm living for people I've not even met. I sit down with Shepherd's Diary. And I write, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking God, and I'm praying for people I don't know, that I must produce something that will bless their lives. And you get angry with the pastor, but you live for yourself. You get angry with the honor. You get angry with the praise. You get angry with the blessings, materials that come around. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? But what's your life? Everything you've done from 100 level to final year was for yourself. You see people living for themselves. They don't do jack for nobody. Get up to read. Get up to class. Read. Go back to class. Watch Manchester United. Discuss it in class. Blast. Wake up in the morning. Get up to outreach. See one or two people. See the other guy. Travel pastor to some other place. Do some work. Come back. Try to pass the exam. Just write it and pass. Thank God I passed that course. Glory to God. And keep going. And doing all that. And then you're both in final year. Somebody says, oh, pastor. The other guy says, all these churches, this is what I'm saying. Pastors are... You're not getting it. You didn't get my point. Say, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Say, sir. It's my classmate. I know it. Let me tell you. They just carry church. Pastors, you don't be honoring them. Let me tell you. It's not supposed to honor. You can't understand that until you know how many hours I've been spent talking to these people. Until you know how many hours I've been spent praying for these people. Until you know how transformed that they are. You can't understand that. Whereas all you did was for you. You know, it always comes back. Now, can you stay with me? Before you get angry, you know I'm not talking about pastor, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. How many people do you get out of your way to help? To lift up? I said to lift up. Stop struggling to lift yourself up. Once you start struggling to lift other people up, you'll go up. It's easy. It's the easiest thing to do if you have. Easy. Get up! And help somebody else. The people we've helped in several ways, in several places, they come back. He said, the goal is to help them so they help people and build people so they help you. Nah. The word of God and the wisdom of God supersedes the wisdom of this world. The word of God teaches us to help people. I expect nothing. I don't expect jack from nobody. We have people who were blessed and gone. I just bless people. You hear what I said? The word of God teaches us to do that. That's what we did. It's not about that. I don't expect that. You can bless, you do all that and go. Guess how I live? I live glory to God. My life is a blessing to many. You see my mindset. Woo, glory, I'm a great person. What makes you a great person? Boy, my life is impacting other lives. Glory to God, you see. That's my mind. That's how I engage in even every small activity that I do. I'm renewed. I'm strengthened. I see differently because I see myself as an impactor of life, a great person. Come on. I'm not trying to be great. Before you came, I wasn't trying to. I knew I was. I was impacting lives. So if you leave, am I going to say, oh, greatness has gone? No. It's here. It's in my mind. You can't take it with me. You can't take it with you. I'm a great person. Going somewhere. See the kind of mind. But if you have everything for yourself, and you do everything for yourself, guess how you are living? Guess how you are living? I'm trying to get some stuff. I'm trying to get some stuff. I'm trying to build myself. I'm trying to make sure I can get stuff. See, your mindset is always trying to get stuff. Come on, are there people in church? I can't do chapter and verse for what I'm telling you now. What I'm telling you now is life. I'm showing you. I want to bring you somewhere. I can go. I can just continue making a journey myself, but I want to bring you somewhere. So you have to stay with me and think. What I'm saying is making sense. What God does, what God's word, we try to say, God's word is to renew our minds so that we can have a kind of life. That's what God's word is for. And so when you are taking in God's word, it's bringing out all these things about you. You are not becoming, quote, good person. Superhead guy. As God sees. But that's what God's word is making you. And just like that, it just also makes you great. From now on, I made my mind, it do for myself, and don't please me. Okay, I cannot share myself for anybody. Let me tell you, all this, everybody just trying to, I mean, me, I'll not follow them. No, I'm not following them. I have to do what pleases me. Go ahead. 5 years, we won't find you. Because that is not the part of life. I say it is not the part of life. If you do what pleases us, and we take it in that context, and we take it from that context into other contexts, you can imagine what we'll be doing. Parties, clothes, you give birth to children, and you say, I beg you. Bini has a word, I get birth, so does that mean I will not eat? Yeah. I have my life too. Yeah, you do it to your children. I'm telling you what I know. I see parents wearing gold, doing stuff, and their children can't even buy stuff they require. I do what pleases me to affect the children. Oh, and you say that, yeah, the children are suffering. Guess what? There will be 72 just now. I see them. I need to find out, what did you do when you were 35? You have to tell me your story, or else I don't care. You had the time. You had the chance. You tell me your story. Don't say, so what? You spent all your time gallivanting, doing all manner of stuff for yourself, going from one club meeting to other club meeting to another. Your children were there. No care, no school, nothing. And then you're done now, and then you not see them, or they themselves did not arrive at any destination because of the way you didn't take care of them. Then you are now here, everything gone. Then I will step in and do all that for you. No. Doesn't work that way. So that thing enters into every area of life and destroys life. He that winneth soul is wise. Give, it shall be given unto you. I'm telling you how all these things work in your life and make you a good person, a better person, and get better results. Hallelujah. So you make a choice to be root or to be offer. It's a choice. You know, I don't know if we looked at this last week. So I told you about choice last week. Take your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Okay, I think we did. I remember reading the Bible, reading that verse. It's Romans chapter number 30. I'm not going to come to church. I'm not going to give my time. I'm not going to pray. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to do that stuff. No problem. Keep doing that. Keep on. It's for yourself. You're not reading your Bible does not affect me reading my Bible. The only way it affects me is that when I'm sleeping, you call me by 11 p.m. and say, Pastor, there's trouble. Then I say, okay, in the morning, I'll get to you. I go back and sleep. That's the only way. You just disturb my sleep. But who is in the trouble? You. I'll tell you something just now. Look at it. Look in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, right? Verse number 19. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. You see, it's a choice. So if you are enjoying life, it's your choice. If you are in debt, rather, you can't enjoy debt. If you are in debt, it's your choice. The Lord says, I set before you life and death, choose life that you may live. Then again, in Proverbs chapter number 18, it says, death and life, they are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. It's available. If you want to be great, you can be great. If you want to be small, you can be small. It's your choice. Are you still here? So I said the very first thing is to take responsibility. The second thing is to make a choice. I want to be great. I want to be a giver. I want to be a helper. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a testifier. I want to be a wonder. I want people to see me and say, boy, he has a great life. I want people to envy me, literally. Don't be angry with me. It's what I want. What do you want? So what kind of guy is this? How can you just want something like that? It's a freedom of want. The freedom of wanting. What do you want? That my decisions, my choices all come from that inner desire, that choice to be great. I want to do stuff. I want to be all this and be all that, but really I want to be great. Will you help me be great? Will you help me be a testifier? Will you help my life? Will you help me be somebody that's envied? Come on. That's how I look at it. So it's a choice. I make my choice. Death and life. Blessing and cursing. What are you choosing? What do you choose? Now, the problem in church, it's a problem. The problem in church is that if you ask everybody here now, you will say, I choose blessing. I choose life. But the problem is, I think we've come to the place where we talk too much. Your actions are different from it. Your actions differ from your choice. Why you tell me, right, I choose life, I choose blessing, I choose all this stuff. You go out there and live in a different way. Because somebody told you, we just need to declare it over you and then you go. No, you got to work it out. You have to work it out. That's what grace is for. It's for working it out. Working out the word. I'm talking to young people who want to be great. As a very old man, I think you need to get the point. I'm telling you. So choose life. So, listen to me. I choose to be a giver. I told you, I made up my mind I don't want to call somebody to give to me. I don't want to make that call. I was talking to my husband. I never want to make that call. Anything that will make me make that call, I won't do it. Come on. That's what making a choice means. I want to try and explain this thing to you. I want to try and show you what making that choice means. Since I made the choice to be a giver, I had to walk. I knew I had to walk. If I don't walk, I have to make a call. Since I made the choice to be a giver, to be productive, to supply, I had to knock out unnecessary expenses, irrelevant expenses. It doesn't affect me in any way, so I don't do those things. I do the things that help me increase productivity. That's what I mean by the choice. When you make a choice, your activities, you sell it, say it, you demonstrate it. So, I'm going to take, there's an example I didn't give you, but it's still going to work here. So let's do it here now. I make the choice to be a giver. Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4. I've made the choice to be a giver. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let me show you something. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 28. Ephesians 4:28. Look at it. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Why? You see there? Let him labor, working with his hands. Why? He may have something to give to him who has needs. So if I have made a choice to be a giver, I don't know if you've all seen the scripture. It's there. Have you seen it? If I've made my choice to be a giver, then I gotta walk. So part of the reason for my working hard is so that what? Are you here? So, the guy works very hard. It's so that he can be a giver. But, when you see him give, stay. When you see him give, what do you say? He has money now. Those people who have, those are the people that give. I don't know. I think only one person got it in the whole church. You see somebody give. I say, I give this amount. I'm going to do this. I'm going. Or we say somebody gave so much. One individual bought their light, the colored light. Somebody just bought the colored light for the church. I say, it's too expensive. I don't have money for that now. I say, all right, you like it? I get it. Well, somebody did it. It's a choice. So, but somebody else stands. Let me tell you what you say. You say, look what you say. This is what you say. And pastor, you don't understand. It's the person that has that gives now. No, but the Bible says, let him walk that he may have to give. So if he has to give, it's because he walked so that he can have to give. Because I said I want to be a giver, I walk. I don't want to be a receiver. Some of you made up your mind. I know this is not everybody, but some of you made up your mind that you receive and it's okay now. It's somehow to me. I've left that thing. Listen, I want to give to elder ones. You hear that? I have elder ones call and say, please, if you can help me. That's no problem. So what do you want? What do you want? You want to be okay. I don't want to be okay. Okay means I can give. So if you see somebody who gives, before you say he has now, you see that he has to give because he works to have so that he can be a giver. So being a giver is a choice. Alright. So I'll tell you another story. I'm a giver. So I'll use this again. Giving. So beyond giving now, what about spending? What about spending? Come on. So if you see a spender, I think my wife has some time ago, I say, when we're going, I just take, I say, let's get going. Let's do something. So you're going to sit there and say, whatever you want. That's right. As in, it can be more than what I have cash. When I want to have cash, I have my ATM. Let's do it. It's good. So, just take everything. Say, I want to say, take what you want. I don't care. Me, I don't even care for anything. I just wanted to let her know that, man, this is where we live. I'm just spoiling a little bit. So, I take this, take some. He said, well, son, I ate. Me, I just took some. She always ate more than me. If we go out to eat anything, she eats more than me. She just spends everything. I don't know why, but anyhow, one of those things in life. Yeah, I'm always okay. How many of you did that thing? How many of you did that thing? That thing is bad. When we're looking for babe, like, you take a girl out. She order rice from you. Say, no, me, I'm not really hungry. I'm not eating. God. That's a bad thing. All right. No, but this is not my case. I don't eat much. I'm just a nice, simple guy. So, she just takes stuff, and I do all that. And then you say, God, that's very good. So you just have, it's just the blessing of God. No, I do it for myself. So I can do it. I'll show you from the scripture. Take your Bible to Proverbs. Chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. Let me show you from Proverbs. Verse number 26. You see there? You see? The person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. I want to be able to go somewhere, ask the price, and buy it. If I want to buy it. I don't want to be limited. And you are angry with me, you see. Do I still have people in church? If you've gone home, say amen. Alright, that's beautiful. You see? So, I want to be able to acquire things I want. So, guess what? I wake up in the morning. I made a choice to be great. So, I wake up in the morning, I go to work. He says, his hungry mouth drives him on. So, he's going, he's walking. So when I'm enjoying it, you don't say, oh, look at that beautiful couple. Oh, God, your boss. Oh, God, you like them. Oh. No. It's the choice they made. They made a choice not to be under. Simple. I made a choice. I don't want to be under. I'll call you. Nothing will happen. Nothing. Nothing. What's my investment style? What's my stock style? I wake up in the morning with a purpose, with a goal, the vision. I'm running. Running. You have to be running to stand and hang around me. My brain has to work. How many of you know Boris Yeltsin? You see? One time Russian president. I have his biography. Boy. You see? My brain got to work. I got to know stuff. I got to read stuff. And you see, you think all I do is Bible stuff? Have you been to my house? You've seen my library. All manner of books. All manner. Boris Yeltsin is a name. If you don't know him because you really don't care, you just live there, you just say do that. I mean, you have to arrive somewhere. It is under him, he broke the Soviet Union into simple independent countries under Boris Yeltsin. And broke the Soviet bond. That's how they now have Slovakia, Ukraine, and all that. They were all one country under Russia before. Under the Soviet Union. He broke the Soviet Union. He's an important man. So you see how it all says over here. Because I don't want to call. I don't want to beg. Lazy man says, the proverb says, lazy man says, weather is not favorable. There's a lion on the street. So he will beg in winter and he will have nothing. Nobody will give him. That's what the Bible says. Excuses. You cook up all manner of excuses. The little you have, you blow it all manner of ways. And you don't care. And then you want to arrive at greatness. It's not going to work. Not going to work that way. It's a choice. So, alright, I said giving is a choice. Spending is a choice. So if you want to have to spend, come on, who wants to have to spend? Come on. I want to have to spend, buy what I like. I go out. I say, I'm ordering this stuff and I order it and I buy it. I buy it. I say, if I have cash here. I say, let's order stuff and buy. What do you like? I don't do it every week. Don't think I do it every week. I want to show you. And he says, alright, buy it. So I say, if we can, I have my ATM. It cannot be as bad. You see, I want to be able to do what I want to be able to do. I don't want to be constrained by society, by people, by anything. So I work hard. So you stand and say, this is what I say, Pastor, I made a choice to be great. I don't want to be constrained by society, anything. Pastor, I want to be a giver. So the pastor, I don't want to be the one that don't have to give. Why are you the one that don't have to give? Have you stopped to ask that question? You don't have to give. Have you stopped to ask yourself, why don't I have to give? Pastor, I don't want to be that one. Hello, Pastor, I want to be the one that give. I want to be the one that help. I want to be the helper. I want to be the one also that enjoys this life. Right? Then, you sleep in the house. Your choice is wrong. Your actions have to match your choice. Your choice does not match your actions. So there's a problem. The choice is wrong. Your action is wrong. Choice is wrong. I don't know which one. You would rather say, Pastor, my choice is to just stay in debt and enjoy my life small dying. Choice. That's the better thing. That's the correct choice for you. Are you still in church? I'm trying to wake you up. I'm saying, nobody ever drifts to victory. Nobody ever drifts to greatness. Nobody ever just gets there. You can't just say, listen, we just got here. We didn't just get here. It has been a 9-year journey. So don't think I just got here by your chance, by one thing you just blipped, plop, plop, it's because of me. No, not because of you. It's a journey that I've made up my mind to take. And I'm getting there. I drop with my wife. She says, God is my witness also. As much as she's my witness. I see people going somewhere sometimes. I see somebody wants to call me up. I see the car. I said, I stop. She says, why is that? I said, I stop because look at the car. Are you brainwalking? If you honor people, you too, you get honor. Don't honor nobody. You don't go nowhere. The simple thing. If we get on the freeway, you will leave me behind. If I try to even do block, it will make sense. Just freeway. Poop. Four plugs to six plugs. So why? What? I said, somebody, you know, I tell her, I said, what is this man's brain working? Look at the thing he's using to drag rope. Okay, drag. I stop. Once you get the brain, I leave you. So what are you doing? What have you achieved? Just honor people straight ahead. Or else they'll have to prove to you. Nice on the road, though. You teach on the road. I show you. Simple principle for your life. When Bible says honor people, you think it's for you. I mean, you do that. You let people go, like you. No, no, no. That's simple. Have a simple life. It gives you a sense of destination. You know what that means? It means I'm getting there someday. I'm getting there someday. I'll be there just now. I'm working hard to get there. When you don't honor people, it means you're not on that road at all. Kai. It's as if I'm pleading to half of the church. Are you still here? I say, when you don't honor people, it means you're not on the road at all. If you're on the road at all, oh, you know that I'm getting there. You understand. So why do people just stop? Who is he? You say, I stop too because I know who he is. One day I too will be the one people are stopping for too. That means you're, when you don't stop, it means that you don't understand. You've not even started your own journey. You are still trying to think that we're all just there. We're not all just there. Some people have gone. Honor. See, that's the story of my life. But I always tell my pastors, I tell you today, I'm not interested in having one great story. I want everybody to have a great story. That's what I'm talking to you. I used to preach like this. This was the core of my teaching some years back. I switched. Because I found I can push people into greatness, push people into a destiny. And I wanted, but I stopped because I wanted them to have a foundation in Jesus. I could do this for hours. Because a lot of people, I see a lot of young people, they don't know how to go about it. They don't know how to go. They don't know what to do. Just living anyhow. The choices I've made are what brought me here. The choices you've made, they brought you to where you are right now. And it really is not a bad stuff. That's what I'm teaching you today. You can start to make the right choices. I choose blessing. I choose to be a light. I choose to be an encourager. I want people to see me and say, this is a young man going somewhere. I'm so pleased. I'm so proud of you. I see it in my office. I told you the story last week. I see a lot of that. People come in and then they are amazed. They are excited. Alright. I see a lot of people come around and they are pleased. People come around. I go preach in our churches. And when I get in, say, that's the pastor. That's a young, very young pastor. Young, you know, it's all kind of story. I don't have an old one. It's a young guy, like that. But I want my life to count. Take your Bibles to John chapter number 5. Let me show you something. We'll wrap it up today. John chapter number 5. Verse number 35. You see there. Talked about John. You see? He, talking about John. That from 5:33. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet, I did not receive testimony from man. But I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Do you see that? You were willing to rejoice in his light. He said John was a burning and shining lamp. You were willing to rejoice in his light. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? John, burning and shining light. Other people were receiving light from him and they rejoiced in John. They rejoiced in him. Come on. You too can be a burning and shining light. That people will rejoice in you. That in your light, other people will be seeing light. It's a choice. It's a journey. You get up and you begin to make. And everything, once you've made that choice, everything that counters that stuff, you walk accordingly. You say, no, I can't do this. It counters being a burning and shining light. That's what I want. Are you still here? So you make a choice. I want to be a born and shining light. And Jesus said, you people were willing to rejoice in his light for a time. It means that just light was shining on them and they rejoiced. Come on, I mean, you see when BDC brings light, when there's light. Okay, everybody rejoice. That's how John's life was to them. When John came out and spoke, they were like, I was so blessed. I speak to my wife sometimes, she has the greatest privilege. Dissect stuff. She was like, boy. You see? That's what I want. Born in a shining light. And people rejoice in my life. Thank God you came into my life. Come on. Thank God you came into my life. Every life I meet, everybody I meet, thank God you came into my life. So you know what? I work extra hard on my life. To make my life, I sharpen my life. I make my life shine. I make sure any dark area, I clean it properly. Anything that is hindering, I remove it because I know I want to be a burning and a shining light. It's a choice. I want to be a burning and shine. I want to be relevant. Everybody I come in contact with, they will rejoice in my light. My family calls me up. They all call me up. She said during the same video. That scripture also. I gave you scripture. Or they call me up and say, what's the meaning of, are you a dictionary? How come you know all the words? Why don't you know all the words? You don't want to know all the words. If you want to know all the words, you will know all the words. How come you don't know all the words? So you don't listen to me. What's the meaning of this word? I need to turn to you. I don't tell you the meaning. And you put it inside to work. How do you know that? Okay, read the scripture. Where is that scripture? Nothing. Don't call me. See, there's one scripture I'm looking for. Check my Hebrews. Check Hebrews 11 or 12. Should be there. Check. This is it. How do you just know the scripture? I want to. Do you? Oh, okay. You want to be the one calling. It's a choice. You might be the one calling or you want to be the one that they call. It's up to you. It's not, don't say God. God didn't do. I want to. Do I want to be great? I don't want to. I don't want people to. I don't want to call anybody. Call it pride. Call it whatever you want. It's your business. I don't want to have to want anybody or need anybody or call anybody or do anything. Call it whatever you want. It's your business. But as I'm standing here today, I'm talking to you. So if you think it's pride, then you should be here. It comes with the fall necessarily. But not falling. 9 years. Building lives and running somewhere. Because I want to be a burning and a shining light. So what do you want to be? So it starts with that choice. No, we have many things to talk about. It's not that. I'll do this for weeks. Next few weeks. So, you have to sit down and make a choice. I want to be great. It's not a crime. It's not a bad thing. I don't know if I've showed you before or showed you in this series or before. David said, increase my greatness. I want to be a born. Okay. If you don't want, you don't like the word greatness. We just read burning and shining light, have we? People rejoiced in your light, have we? Aha. I want to be a burning and shining light. That's the one you like. How can a light be burning and shining and people are rejoicing on that and it's not be a great light? I don't know. Have you? I want to be a burning and shining light. That in my light, many people will see light. I keep telling Dio, I'll push him. I'll say, Dio, you know, this is what I kept telling you. I said, your child. So you be a great father to that, to their daughter. That you go, that is a, you just bam, say my father is a, is my father is so a superman. My father knows everything. I don't see anything you don't know. Come on. That should be part of the plan. I keep telling you, I say, I don't know how to do that. I keep pam 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 pam. I have plans. I walk. I said, I'm building for them. When they come, they will know the nonsense. Building for them. So they will rejoice. I rejoice that I was born by so and so. I will rejoice that this person gave birth to me. I have a good legacy. I have a good lineage. Come on, are you still here? You are working that hard. So I've asked him, I'm talking about this, but it has to drive you that other people can hang around you and enjoy light because of your life, because of all my study. a lot of things that will just work for her. So you don't need to stress. That's the real stuff. We just sit down. Let's do a prayer. This is how to do prayer. I'll show you. How do you know? How will I not know? She can play with computer now because I told her how to do it. A lot of things. I built a pudding. So I was doing all that so that other people around me can rejoice in my life. It's a choice to be great. It's a choice to be great. It's a choice to be a magnet. I said, you hear what I said? To be a magnet. Now people call me in your sphere. And your sphere makes sense. There's no point for them to leave your sphere. There's no point. Come on. There's no point. That's the choice. I work hard from preaching to practical life so that I can be a magnet. You can come to church and say, boy, I love this pastor. So there's this part I was considering so that when we, let's finish. You don't know everything is work. It's a choice. If we do that one, 3-2 days. So, there's one scripture that is confusing me, but this part is still, let's read the other part.
You say, okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Awesome, please.
You see? I made a choice. That choice makes me live in a certain way. I want to have a great 2019. I have plans for this year. I have plans. What are your own plans? I don't just have plans for this year. I have plans for next year too. Plans. Next year plans. Yeah, they are already there and it works. We are cooking them. You think it just happens that it's my plan. I plan it. I've been planning it for years. Yes, true. At the right time, it will hash. You just see the hashing. You don't see that there's a plan. But I have plans. I have plans for next year. Plans 2 years. Setting it, running in motion. Targets running every month. We must hit, run so that we can hit this target, move on, and get. You see what I'm saying? What are your own plans? Tomorrow morning, I will know what I will do. How will you know what you do tomorrow morning? I don't know if I'll buy it yet. I might buy it, I might not buy it. What are you saying? You can't make me buy what I don't want to buy. Nobody, they're not giving birth to the person that will come in front of me and make me buy what I don't want to buy. I said they're not giving birth to the person. It's not in my plan. But it used to look like a very good thing. Nope. You can enter into it and crumble with it. It's a very good thing, but because it's not in your plan, it's not structure. It's a good thing, but it can bring you down. It has to be in the plan. It has to be what I want. It has to be in the master plan. So what is your own master plan? Say, it just happened. I just bought it. Praise the Lord. What's that? No, it's a plan. I don't do stuff anyhow. Yeah, half. 6 months gone. Another 6 months. What's your own plan? Prayer meeting. No, we don't have any all-night prayer meeting. We don't. There's none. You want to use God to hide. We don't have any all-night prayer meeting. No. Nothing. As I'm talking to you right now, the devil of stupidity is checking out. So let's do deliverance. No, I don't need to do deliverance. This is deliverance. I'm just delivering you right now. Stupidity is checking out. It's living. If you only listen. And that's the next point we'll go to next week. Don't solo it. The scripture, the Bible himself, the Bible you read, God himself, believe the Lord, you'll be established. Believe his prophets, you prosper. In God's structure, all his design, there's a prophet in front of you. It is the man that leads you to prosper. That is why the Bible says just now, John was a burning and shining light. You are going to rejoice in his light for a time. So they moved along as John moved along. When they stepped out of John's light, guess where they were standing? Darkness. That's what happened to them. If they stayed with John, if they remained with John and stayed in that light, they would have been able to receive Jesus. He was the precursor to Jesus. Come on, are you here? He came to make a way for Jesus. So what he meant was that he got into his way. They were rejecting on the road. And he stepped out. So John was to lead people to the Messiah. Do you would even think about that? He said, I came before him. So those are the lead people to him. To make his way straight. So that people can be directly towards Jesus. No, that John Smith. He said, I'm not the Messiah. Are you the guy? He said, no, I'm not the guy. My own job is to carry people to him. If they had stayed with John, they would have known Jesus. You can't go alone. Don't solo it. Just go and say, now, Ganga, I'm going to Ganga. Don't Ganga by yourself. If there must be a Ganga, there must be somebody over you to lead you and to direct you. That's God's design.